preparing for holidays, work wrapping up for the year, presents and gifts to give and write. It just feels like Christmas comes around so fast. I was reminded the other day by a friend of mine that this is my 8th Christmas spent here in the States away from family. And time has really flown by. I remember my first Christmas here in California back in 2017. It was tough. It was tough because... I don't think this works either. Oh, okay, it worked. So I remember it was tough because in Australia during Christmas season, it was going to having a barbecue with family, going to the beach to have fun. But here in California, it was cold during December. And I was just thinking with Ruth, what did we get ourselves into? But now things have changed so much in 2024 with 2 kids. Now all I can think about is what to get them for Christmas. How to make Christmas meaningful for them. So I've been thinking lately of a message to prepare and to share for Erin. I know it sounds a bit funny. I'm not sure how long she'll be able to sit through a message. But I've been thinking intentionally about how do I make Christmas intentional for my kids? And I remember a while back, she wanted a bit of screen time. So she wanted to watch YouTube. So I popped on a sermon of me preaching. And she was like, booyah, booyah, booyah. She didn't want this. So pray that my talk goes well on Tuesday, on Wednesday, the 25th, next week. Anyways, I hope this season is a blessed and fruitful season for us all to not be pulled by culture, but to reflect and worship what this season really means. We often hear happy holidays or have a wonderful holiday. That's good and all, and that's great that we get to celebrate and enjoy holidays. But ultimately, as Christ followers, the core of this season is to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And so on that note, this morning, I have a message of hope prepared for you all, because in the world we live in, hope often seems so temporary or broken by our human brokenness. But the Christmas story reminds us this morning where our hope is to be found, and that's in baby Jesus. Seems like we have some technical difficulties this morning. This morning, I want to share a message from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, regarding a woman by the name of Anna, who placed her hope in Jesus as the promised Messiah, and how her story of devotion and worship to God can offer us hope today as Jesus followers. So let's pray and let's give this time to God. My message is titled, Hope Has Arrived. Hope has arrived. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we get to come and celebrate the birth of Jesus, knowing that he is hope personified. He has come to usher in peace, joy, and hope for all of humanity. Lord, help us as we worship, as we continue in this season to reflect and to meditate on what you have done. Lord, prepare our own hearts to seek you, to know you, and to respond in love for you. Lord, we thank you for this time and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to ask, when was the last time you eagerly awaited for something in your life? Maybe recently for college students or for seniors. I mean, you're anxiously waiting for that college acceptance letter. Maybe if you've graduated, you're waiting for that dream job offer. Maybe you're waiting for an important relationship in your life to be mended. Maybe currently now you're waiting for a child to return home to the faith. Maybe you're waiting for that lifelong partner to drop from the sky. Fair to say that many of us actually spend a lot of our times waiting for something to come to pass. I remember back in 2021 when Ruth was pregnant with our firstborn Erin, I was eagerly waiting for her to come out every day, listening to the kicks, listening to the heartbeat. I couldn't wait any longer to meet this child of mine, counting down the days until the due date. When she came out that evening and 3 days after, I cried. I just couldn't stop crying. Not because life was going to be over, but because God gave me a baby girl. You see, we've all been there before. Whether it's life's big moments or to the everyday mundane, we always find ourselves waiting. These days, Amazon and other companies help us wait. They have tracking numbers, a mini truck notification to see how far they're away from your house. And I've noticed lately, maybe it's my patience level, but it's absolutely frustrating when you're waiting for something, but it does not come on time. I'm sure you feel the same. Maybe it's the Amazon Prime delivery or new clothes that you bought online. These days, as I get older, I eagerly await for my Wii arrival. You know what I'm talking about, right? For parents, you have this little truck on the Wii app, and it shows you when your groceries are about to arrive. And I get really frustrated and angry when it doesn't arrive on time. Because why? Because at the root of it, we humans are hoping creatures. We live very largely on and in our anticipations, things we know are coming and we look forward to. And this morning, we're going to look at an often overlooked story during Christmas, and that is the story of Anna the prophetess, found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, from verses 36 to 38. She spent more than half, nearly all her life, waiting for God's promises to come to pass in Jesus as the promised Messiah. You see, this story is fascinating because unlike us today, Anna waited eagerly with great devotion towards God, not being frustrated or swayed by her circumstances, but she stayed on course to accomplish what God has promised. So I believe there are some valuable lessons for us this morning as we go about our daily life living in this world as Christ followers. Are we going to be people who are distracted or dictated by our situations or our circumstances? Or are we going to be people grounded with biblical hope that anchors us in the goodness and faithfulness of God? So if you have your Bibles, read with me in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but stayed there day and night, worshipping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Let's read that again, only a couple of verses. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but stayed there day and night, worshipping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Now, we need to back up in the story a little bit to get the full understanding of what Anna is saying and doing here. At this time of history, Jesus, God in human flesh, had been born to Joseph and Mary. So his earthly parents were Jewish, and as many people of that day, the Jewish law required that every male baby had to be dedicated to God through circumcision at the temple. And the temple was located in Jerusalem, and it was the place where God's people would go to meet with him, offer up sacrifices for their sins, and be forgiven and cleansed. The temple symbolized the presence of God. Just like today, an embassy or government would symbolize some sort of authority and power, the temple in Jerusalem symbolized God's very own presence. So Joseph and Mary, being devout Jews, they take Jesus to the temple where they met a man who was a devout believer called Simeon. Simeon was not only a righteous man, but he was a man that was led by the Spirit of God to go and see this fulfillment come to pass. He was awaiting the consolation of Israel, meaning the hope of deliverance for the nation. So throughout history of God's people, Israel had suffered greatly both for their own sin and because of their oppression of others. Their land was frequently overrun by foreign powers. They suffered under slavery in Egypt. They endured troubles in exile. In short, there were a people group that were in desperate need for consolation and comfort. So in the preceding verses, there was a man by the name of Simeon who spent all his life waiting for this consolation, for the Messiah to come and redeem his people. He had been given a unique promise by the Spirit of God that he would not die before he saw the Christ, the Messiah, with his own eyes. Now comes the story of Anna. This morning, that's what I want to focus on. Who was Anna? The Bible only contains 3 sentences about Anna the prophetess, but they're very important lines. We're told that Anna was very old. She was very old. She had been a widow for many years. She had only 7 years with her husband before his passing, and she lived in the temple as a widow since. Scripture tells us that she never departed from the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Scripture also identifies her specifically as a prophet, which means an interpreter of oracles or other hidden things of God. So she received divine revelation, and then she would speak of it concerning God's kingdom. So in short, Anna was a godly woman dedicated to the Lord and was rewarded for her faith with a glimpse of the promised one, the Messiah of Jerusalem. Now, I've always found Anna's story very, very inspirational. Not only is she mentioned of being old age, but she has been widowed for a long time. Near East culture, most women were married around 14 years of age. Scholars say that she most likely would have been widowed for 84 years. I mean, just off the bat, that's really tough, especially for a woman in that culture and time. But in the midst of her circumstances, she teaches us how to cultivate and be people of hope in whatever seasons that we're in our own life. So the first point I want to talk about is this. Anna did not depart from the presence of God. Anna did not depart from the presence of God. As we know, for the Jews of old, the temple was significant because that's where God's presence dwelled. This was the place they could encounter the living God. You see, for Anna, waiting for such a long time for the promises of God to come to fulfillment, she could have easily been distracted, lost focus, lost all hope. But we're told she committed her ways to the worship of God and to be in the presence of God. She did not leave the temple. Now, just quickly, this is not to be mistaken that she slept in the temple or that she was homeless or that she had nothing better to do. Rather, it is to be understood that she was so consumed, fully taken up with the worship of God. I'm sure it wouldn't have been easy for her. She would have experienced a lot of pain, hurt, chaos in what was happening around her. Also dealing with such a big trauma in her life of losing her loved one, she still did not depart from the presence of God. Reminds me of Psalm 84 when the psalmist pens about people like Anna. How lovely is your dwelling place. How long and faint to enter the courts of the Lord. What joy for those who can live in your house. Isn't this amazing? I mean, let's be honest. When we experience anything like hurt, betrayal, a big trauma in life, or even when we're waiting for God's promises to come to fulfillment, we try to run away from the presence of God. I try to run away from the presence. His presence almost seems repulsive to my flesh. And I finally understand why Adam and Eve fled from the presence of God when they sinned in the garden. I finally understand why Cain also left the presence of God to settle elsewhere in the land. I understand why King David also fled the presence of God when he fell into great sin. I'll also do the same. Whether it be an unfavorable circumstance in my life or in your life, whether it's sins that we're committing, the last thing we want is the presence of God. But here we're told this morning, Anna stayed in the presence of God in the temple. No matter how long she needed to wait, no matter what she may have gone through, she knew it was a place to experience intimacy with God. She didn't just stay in the temple and twiddle her thumbs and think, how am I going to get by today? But in the temple of God, where the presence of God was, she was very intentional as she waited. Second point, Anna relentlessly pursued God in the temple. Anna relentlessly pursued God. You see, when things don't turn out the way we want or the way we hope for, it's very hard to stay devoted. We often lose our worship to God. In some recent seasons of my life, especially in the last couple of years, my circumstances and environment haven't been that favorable. There has been some hard nights, some hard weeks, some hard months. And in those times, I can honestly say to you that I lost my heart to worship God. I lost all devotion. I didn't want to read the Bible. I didn't want to pray. Even though I was physically here at church, I just kept those wheels turning, but I experienced a lot of resentment, bitterness, anger, anxiety, and worry about tomorrow. I started to turn to other things outside of God. Maybe you felt the same at some point in your life. Maybe you're in that season right now. Something hasn't worked out for you or your family. Something is not going according to plan. Bit by bit, you start to lose motivation for the worship of God. And instead of pursuing Him, you start to pursue other things of this world. I have a good friend back in Australia. He was a pastor. We graduated together. Great gift of teaching, and he just loved teaching the Bible in Sunday school to others. During COVID-19 times in Melbourne in 2020, Melbourne experienced this big lockdown. In fact, it had the longest lockdown in the world. And I remember calling my parents every couple of days, weeks, and months, They were all masked up. They couldn't go to church, couldn't go to the mall, couldn't go anywhere. 262 days, 9 months in total, Melbourne was under stay-at-home orders since March 2020. They were locking people up. They were entering into churches, checking for vaccination cards, mask mandates. It was very hard for a lot of people during that time. Anyways, his situation was not favorable. Circumstances got tough, started to lose his focus on God, started to get demotivated, couldn't see the light in so many things in his life, in his church. He started to take meds, mental health went down, started to look to other things to focus in on. Everything, bit by bit, was going downhill for him. Once was a devoted guy, no longer became a pastor. And only now, after all those years in 2024, he's only trying slowly to get back to church life. I'm sharing this because it happens to all of us. It can happen and may one day happen. We learn, though, from Anna. Her circumstances did not dictate her life, but she is the one who dictated her circumstances through faithful devotion, consistency in her worship, and the pursuit of God. No matter what life threw at her, she fasted and persisted in prayer. And I believe through Anna doing this day after day, year after year in the temple, her eyes became fixated on the coming Messiah. She relentlessly committed to the pursuit of God. Today, when we face trouble of any sort, I want to encourage all of us that it's actually in those times all the more that we got to press into God and what He has to offer. It is in those times that we must pursue Him at all costs. Life can be tough, but life gets even tougher when we do it without God. Because without Him, there is no peace. Without Him, there is no comfort. Without Him, there is no way through the fear or the crushing weight of whatever we're carrying. Third, Anna had a well-placed hope. Anna had a well-placed hope. This is what I mean. Many of our hopes, so to speak, is like wishes, wishful thinking. I hope it's summer weather now. I hope my sports team win all the championships going forward. I hope I don't have to go back to college. But a biblical, well-placed hope means expectation, trust, and confidence. The original wording is like anticipating and to welcome. It's having confidence in what is guaranteed. Why did Anna have this well-placed meaning hope? Well, because her whole life, Anna's life was centered around believing in the Old Testament scriptures, trusting that it was God's very own word and it would fill her hopes for the future of Jerusalem. She would have understood from a young age and into the temple that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem in the Old Testament Micah. She would have understood that it would have come from a virgin in Isaiah. She would have understood that He would come out of Egypt in Hosea. She would have understood that He would have been called a Nazarene, Isaiah 11. She knew this was the Word of God, and she not only knew that, but she believed it to be true. Therefore, she can move forward with confident expectation because she stepped out in faith and she believed, knowing that God's promises will be fulfilled, darkness will be lifted, and the great blessing of God will arrive and change humanity forever. Today, dear friends, what are we centering our lives around? What are we believing? Are we just there at home, crossing our fingers, hoping for the best situations that we're in? Or is it grounded in the confidence, knowing that the God we worship is the one who will do as He says? You see, Anna, she had a grounded biblical hope that carried her through each day because it was centered on what God had to say. And she was rewarded for she saw the Messiah that day. So as I wrap it up, dear friends, may we learn from Anna's life. Her heart for the presence of God, never fleeing from Him, but rather sticking with God during those times of waiting. Now I know for some of us, maybe we're waiting for something to come to pass. Maybe it's the salvation of a friend or a family member. Maybe it's for some spiritual breakthrough in our lives, a financial need, whatever it may be. We learn from Anna to look expectantly at God and know that He is at work and He will continue to work. May we also learn from Anna her heart's posture and position. She relentlessly pursued God, even though her circumstances and situations may have not been favorable. Even though all those years she had not seen Jesus, she kept her devotion, she fasted, she prayed, and she moved forward. How are we posturing and positioning our hearts this morning in this season? Are we setting ourselves in such a way that allows us to pursue God and move forward? Or are we positioning and posturing our hearts in such a way every morning that we are our own worst enemy? We can't move forward because we become lazy or demotivated. These days, I've been working on something really, really hard. And that's teaching Erin how to ride a tricycle. She's moved on from these little toddler push bikes, and we've been teaching her to how to ride a tricycle. And so every time before we go out onto the road to ride the tricycle, I would sit her at home on the chair, and then I would say, I speak to her in Chinese because she can't understand English. Fresh off the boat, right? I'll say, 听爸爸说, right? Listen to what dad has to say. 你要用右脚左脚, right? 左脚右脚左脚右脚要推, okay? 要坐直直的。So I'll say like, sit upright, your left leg, your right leg, your left leg, you have to keep it moving, right? And then we'll spend all this time teaching her to get your posture right, get your leg position right, and then you'll be able to move forward. And so when the time comes, we'll get onto to outside our garage, into the road, and she'll sit there, and she'll lean back and have one hand like this, with her legs up high, straight out of like a 90s R&B video. And I have no idea where she learned that from. I have no idea. And it was absolutely frustrating because all that we've taught her from her posture to her positioning, it gets nowhere because she just sits there and she's stagnant. She doesn't move forward. And so I'm always getting angry. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, 你要左手边,右手边,左手边。And she's just like leaning back like this. Make me think about something. Likewise, the Christian life is not a passive life. It's an active one. Expectant waiting for God's timing also means that we need to work on our behalf. We need to fast, pray, devote ourselves, seek God. We are moving forward into the right direction. Last but not least, may we move forward in our lives, not with wishful thinking, but with a solid, well-placed, biblical hope, knowing that what God has promised in Christ, He will fulfill. 2,000 years ago, Simeon and Anna waited with great eagerness and expectation. The redemption of Jerusalem and deliverance for God's people had come in baby Jesus. He had come not to only take away our sins, all the bad thoughts and actions that we have committed throughout time, but He has come to give us a life filled with hope for tomorrow. Hope has arrived. Will you receive Him this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the story of Anna, that You teach us to never depart from Your presence, but rather to seek You diligently with great eagerness and expectation, with great prayer, with great fasting, to continue on this path moving forward, knowing that no matter what circumstances we are faced with, no matter what situations in life we are experiencing, Lord, we are not dictated by those circumstances, but Lord, we are dictating it by what we are offering to You, our worship. And so, Lord, we just continue to pray and press in that, Lord, You instill in our hearts a solid biblical hope, grounded in the expectation and confidence of who You are, the God of all hope. Lord, we thank You that You speak to us this morning and that hope has arrived in baby Jesus. For those who have not yet received Him, Lord, I pray that You work in their hearts, that they will also see Jesus for who He is and what He has come to accomplish and what He has to offer. Lord, that they may receive Him right now. Spirit, work mightily among us, speak to us, comfort us, instill in us a hope for tomorrow. That, Lord, we walk each and every day with great eagerness and expectation, knowing that You are the God of promise and there is yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for this time and we praise You and we crown You King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray.